Following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show. Your war room for insider news and draft analysis from deep within the confines of Cowboys headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Today is Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. It's officially draft month, and we are 23 days away from the NFL draft in Detroit, Michigan. Welcome in to the Draft Show, presented by Miller Lite, a taste you can depend on. We've got Aisha Morrison, Brian Broaddus, Nick Harris, Zach Wolchuk. I'm Kyle Yeomans with Chris Beam, running everything in the back. All right, we're within 23 days. Pro Days concluded, including Big 12 Pro Day across the way. This past weekend, got to see some fun prospects over there. We've got 30 visits happening this week. There's a lot going on around the building, Nick Harris.
Yeah, absolutely. 30 visits are starting tomorrow as we're talking. That'll be on April 3rd. They'll go through Friday, and basically what will happen is these guys will come into the building and go through a car wash style meeting with the team. They'll meet with Coach McCarthy and Jerry Jones. They'll meet with the scouting department. They'll meet with the position coaches. They'll meet with medicals. They'll meet with the security team. They'll meet with even the media a little bit. There's a lot that these guys will do within a span of 4 to 5 hours, and then right back on their flight back home. So it's an opportunity for the Cowboys to be able to sit down in front of these guys, get an opportunity to know them a little bit better on a personal level, also be able to talk some ball with them a little bit. You know, at the combine, you can meet with these guys for 15 minutes, sometimes you can try to stretch that to 20, so you can't really talk a whole lot in those 20 minutes, but you get them out of their natural element, get them in the building, see how they operate around other prospects as well. They do a big meeting beforehand with all the guys, and that kind of gives them an opportunity to see what they do in a big group setting. So there's a lot that they can take out of these 30 visits, and it sounds like we'll have some names to drop here in a minute as well.
Yeah, we're gonna have some names for you for the first time, and There's a long list of guys, Brian, that have been on this Dallas Cowboys team and have been 30 visits. That's why you got to pay attention to these visits, because it's a pretty good indication. It's a pretty good roadmap of what Dallas is thinking going into draft weekend.
No, you're absolutely right. That Dallas Day, which they had yesterday, is something that is very important to the scouting process. And Nick did a great job of explaining exactly how the process is going to work for these players. And it's really the first opportunity, too, for Jerry Jones to sit down and to see and to meet with these prospects. He's seen the players from maybe a Senior Bowl. Maybe they've done some pre-draft stuff. He's watched some tape. But to sit down and get a feel for these guys, I think it helps everybody in the organization to kind of understand. Maybe if you got a couple of guys you're looking at on the board and that you've got similar grades on, that 30 visit might sway you in that direction because, hey, listen, we like this kid. We brought him in. He handled the medical stuff. He handled all the interaction. Some of these kids will show up coat and tie, and you kind of get impressed by that. I remember a time where when I was at the Green Bay Packers, we brought in a gentleman named Bob Kerbersky, and he was from the Naval Academy, and he showed up in his full dress whites. And I said, you know what? This is amazing.
That is awesome.
And the fact that I took him to a Taco Bell, because that's what he was craving, he goes, can we somehow go to a Taco Bell? And I said, absolutely. And the fact that he did not spill one bit of those tacos on those dress whites.
Yeah. I'm moving you up the board.
Yeah. He went from a fourth-round guy to a second-round guy. Right there.
The awareness.
It's incredible. It's definitely not surprising that a Navy man was craving Taco Bell.
Yeah, but that's the first thing he asked. But on a 30 visit, the first thing he asked was, he goes, could we stop at a Taco Bell?
That is hilarious.
And I said, really? And he goes, please. And I go, sure.
I've been there. We got
you,
buddy.
We went in the line there, and Bob ate his tacos, full dress whites, and then we went on and met. But it's a 30 visits is a great opportunity to be able to get an even better feel for these kids.
Yeah. I love that story for two reasons. One, because it's the ultimate sign of respect for him to show up in the all whites and to be able to have the dress whites on. But then also it shows like he's comfortable being him, regardless. You know, like you can take away little things. And that's part of what this week is you get to take away just the little things and try and read in between the lines. And I think last year showed you Mazi Smith was a 30 visit. Matthew Bergeron was not a 30 visit.
Right.
They were the ones that were on the board going into that 27th overall pick that were being debated through. Mm-hmm. They ultimately ended up with Mozzie Smith. Probably, and I had heard he had a great 30 visit last year. So maybe that is part of why that decision was made and how they went that direction.
Yeah, honestly, it's probably the part of the entire draft process that I'm most envious about. Because we can sit there, and honestly, the film is probably the most important, but you get to kind of get a feel for the human being.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What makes this person tick? How much do they really love the game? You know, what are some of the little things that, okay, I can get a feel for this guy characteristic-wise versus some other prospects? So, to your point, if you have guys that are close, like these offensive linemen that you might have similar grades on, the DBs, the wide receivers that stretch, it's like, okay, we might have a third-round grade on this guy, and all right, here's a guy in the fourth that I think we'd be really happy with. He came in, we met with him, we know him, we got to know him, he's a family guy, the values are there. It checks fundamentally everything we want in our locker room and in our building.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and then we already know what this team, I don't have a whole bunch to say about it because y'all haven't said it all, but this team what is the word I'm looking for? Connective? We know that they can hinge on to, you know, people that they meet, but they also, too, they really, maybe more than some other teams, value the one-on-one and the person and trying to connect to the player and things like that. So I'm definitely feeling like 30-day visits and also Dallas Day are going to be important to whatever. Even they have to replenish on practice squad as well in different areas. Like this is 100%. So all of this is important to the process.
Yep.
And it's still very early in the 30 visits. We don't have the full list, but we have some names that we could share, right?
You got
Nick
some
do.
Names?
Nick do.
Nick
do.
Yeah.
Nick
do. So here we go.
It's going to come out on DallasCowboys.com, right?
Yeah, so we'll have a little bit more names to share on DallasCowboys.com later, so be sure and check into that. These are the names that have already been reported, so I'm not breaking anything here.
There you go.
We'll start with those. Linebacker Nathaniel Watson out of Mississippi State, SEC linebacker of the year last year, really productive there for the Bulldogs. Linebacker Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M. We've talked about him ad nauseum. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, the best linebacker in this class. Linebacker Trevin Wallace out of Kentucky.
Let's go.
Shout out to Nicole Hutchison for breaking that one about a month back. And 6'2", 220, really fun guy. We've talked about him a lot. Really athletic presence. Linebacker Jordan McGee out of Temple. Probably a more narrow linebacker, but has the instincts to play in that second level and be very productive. Linebacker Peyton Wilson out of North Carolina State. Shout out to my man Broadus to the left.
That's linebacker one. Right
that is
there.
Linebacker one.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then running back Jonathan Brooks out of Texas. So those were the ones that were reported.
What does that say
today
about the list? linebacker.
You think they're hunting linebackers?
A lot of linebackers. Oh, and then also this morning, shout out to Ryan Fowler out of Bleacher Report, reported a Matt Goncalves from Pittsburgh, the offensive tackle. He will be a 30 visit as well.
Oh,
he was a Shrine Bowl guy. He's been battling a toe injury. He only played in three games as a senior, but had he played his whole senior season, I think we'd be talking about him as a day two type guy. So he's probably a high risk, high reward from a medical standpoint as well. So, you know, the Cowboys, even in those later rounds, we're looking at those high risk, high reward medical guys. But here are the names we're going to drop here. I'm going to go ahead and give you five, and then we'll have a more complete list later in the day. Be sure to check out with DallasCowboys.com. We'll start with the offensive tackle, Talisi Fuaga out of Oregon State. It depends on who you talk to. Top two tackle in the class might not be two. Him and Joe Alt have been, you know, kind of right there together, I think, over the course of the last few weeks, especially since the Senior Bowl, and Fuaga was able to put some things together there. Running back Bucky Irving out of Oregon. I've talked about him a lot. I think he's a guy that can do a lot of things in the receiving game, do a lot of things in the run game. Probably didn't have the best combine in the world, but he's definitely a day two type of talent. Trey Benson out of Florida State, running back. We've talked about him a lot. Yeah. Arguably the most complete back in the draft. He will be in attendance 900 yards each of his last two seasons. And we'll round up here with two centers, Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon and Graham Barton out of Duke.
Let's go. So, let's go, Graham.
Pull yourself together.
Woo! Right there. Everybody aboard the Graham Barton train,
hell
baby.
Yeah. Leader of the fan club, boys. Let's go.
Can I be vice president?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go.
All right.
So a really good list that is coming together. We probably won't be able to share the whole list at any point because, we'll be able to talk more on it post-draft. I mean, there's a reason for those things, unfortunately. But we are here to talk about these guys and the guys that are coming through this week. I think it's going to be a really interesting process for sure.
So run through those last five names, the one that you just talked through, so that way we have it all. Because it was Nathaniel Wilson, Edgerrin Cooper, Trayvon Wallace, Jordan McGee, Peyton Wilson, Jonathan Brooks. That was the first list. All of those have been reported. These are the new reports for guys that are coming in this week.
Yeah, and Matt Goncalves was also one that was reported this morning. But the ones that we're dropping here, Talisi Fuaga out of Oregon State, running back Bucky Irving out of Oregon, Trey Benson, Florida State running back, Jackson Powers Johnson, Oregon center, and Graham Barton, Duke offensive lineman, in my opinion, center. But
any of those interest you, Aisha, whenever you hear those names coming off the board?
I mean, no, I think what interests me the most, I mean, we've talked about all these humans, but I think what interests me the most is the variety that's there, is that we've talked about how we believe that maybe this draft will fall. It looks like maybe they feel like, I mean, obviously they're doing it because they have the team build, but also, too, I think it's healthy for them to get a look at all these different positions and different guys, because we think this board might fall in their favor in a lot of ways because it's so tackle heavy, because the wide receiver class is so high that some of these stars that we look at might be there. We all got a lot of first round grades, so I think they're doing the right thing by checking everybody out.
What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, I think Aisha hit right on the head there. You know, we've talked about the thing with the linebackers. It's obvious there that they're going to try and figure some things out with that crew, maybe sort that out. We'll see how the things work with Wilson and Cooper. Cooper, the healthier of the two players. Powers, Johnson, Barton, the centers. Okay, I think that with Powers, Johnson now, it's about people understand there's some medical concerns with him that we are going to learn about. Is it enough to keep him from getting drafted? I think some people maybe thought him as initially as the high guy. I think we're starting to see that maybe Barton on some people's boards is taking over as center number one just for some medical. Now, Barton has his share of stuff that I talked to a guy at the Duke Pro Day. He's dealing with the shoulder injury that he had. He wasn't able to do any punch or any bench press, you know, so there's some things you're working through there. But it's an interesting group that they're hunting right here, but it's at the positions that we kind of feel like that's where they're going to need to go. Offensive tackle, when you were talking about running back, and then also the linebacker. All these things that we've talked about basically since January are starting to kind of materialize as we work closer to this draft.
It's no surprise and it's no coincidence that all of these names at some shape, fashion, and form we've talked about along the way.
Because these
are the guys that fit the bill from what the Cowboys are looking for, and we're starting to see that more and more as the week goes on.
Yeah, I was wanted to comment on Nick when you mentioned about Talisi Fuaga, where he and Joe Alt are kind of neck and neck right now. I think it's interesting because Joe Alt ain't did nothing but did well this whole process, but it's kind of, to me, a testament of his consistency, where he's not boring at all, but he just does the job. He just comes out and does things. Fuaga, I think his temperament is just a little bit of more of that nasty, but I just think that's interesting how he just doing his job. Joel just been here just doing his job, and then people are like, oh, I don't know, is Fuaga passing him? I'm like, he's just been consistent. That's all.
And we've talked about Zach, you were talking about it as a whole, getting to know these prospects as people and as human beings. I've heard nothing but great things about Talisi Fuaga and what he brings. He's got a great personality. You can see it both on camera and, I mean, with his teammates through the Senior Bowl process. And even on film, you can see him visibly in the mix. And I like that from a player overall.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about who's the best run blocker along these tackles. It might be Fuaga. For me, it probably is. I mean, you see the athleticism there. When I first was studying him, I was wondering, okay, will teams view him kind of like J.C. Latham? Or is he a right side only kind of guy, or do they think he could kick over to the left side? I think he does have athletic ability. Some teams might even think, okay, I could put him inside at guard even, and he can be dominant. But I think the big difference for me when you watch Fuaga is kind of the play temperament.
Yes.
He is nasty. He's got that finishing ability. Absolutely. To me, he was a really, really fun study, especially when you got to watch him against some guys like Laitu Latu from UCLA. So Fuaga, it's not a surprise that he's debated as maybe the top tackle in the draft.
Yeah, intelligence is really there with Fuaga as well. That was something that stood out to me from talking to people at the Senior Bowl. And he was a guy that met with the Cowboys at the Combine formally, and will be right back here for a 30 visit. So that's quite fascinating. Trey Benson as well.
I've got a ton of notes on him, and I don't have one negative comment on him.
Me neither.
And I usually you could find some type of hole. A guy carries his hands too low. Maybe he's a little late. Maybe a little sloppy with the footwork. I see what Dallas is doing by bringing him in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any way in hell he gets to you.
I don't either. Yeah. I feel like
I just feel like that, you know, to me, we were all kind of talking about, and Aisha was bringing it up, where, you know, Alt seems to be a guy that everybody, you know, very consistent the way he plays. And,
yeah.
But Fuaga has been, unless the Jets are thinking about doing something crazy at 10 and getting out of there, that's where I felt like that he was going to be.
Me too.
That somebody like it, in it yeah. But now you're hearing whispers. If I'm the Jets and I've got a veteran quarterback that I need to keep upright, why not draft this guy? I understand you went and got Tyron Smith and all that, but man, this guy is a player. And so, in my mind, I don't even have him. It would be a gift from the draft gods.
Yeah,
it'd be a CeeDee Lamb-esque type.
Yeah,
of slide.
If somehow
absolutely. Maybe bigger.
Yeah, somehow yeah. If you're sitting there and he's on that board. I mean, this would be the quickest I would ever hand in a card.
Yeah.
And, you know, trust me, in 1998 when he did the draft, we were the quickest handing in our card. So, you know, I just don't know. Like these tackles, I like what Dallas is trying to do. To me, that's a trade-up.
I was about to say, this is probably
that's a trade-up right there if you're looking at
it. If you're speaking this highly of a prospect and you're handing in that card so fast like that,
yeah,
is there any way? I know you don't have a ton of draft capital. You don't have a ton of capital overall. Yeah, to move up. Is there any
Can I give you a player?
Possible way? Sure.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, to me, this team, we've talked about it a bunch, and I think we've gone the right path. They lost. Aisha's pointed out they've lost so much depth, you know, and we're talking about how to move back and get an extra third or fourth round pick going into this draft. So to me, Fuaga, I applaud them for wanting to see potentially the best tackle in the draft. I don't know how you're going to do it unless you've got a plan to dance that thing up.
I ain't got no faith.
No.
Y'all can get excited for no reason.
No,
you
know, no aggressive.
Heck no. Nah, you ain't even got no. We need some coupons. We ain't got no money to be.
Buy one, get one.
Something. Brian just brought up the depth. Like, that's what scares me about what's going on.
Your 87th overall pick is now worth the 60.
Please.
Take 27 picks off of your picks.
Yeah, I mean, you could be mortgaging future picks is what it is.
I'll tell you where they're going to fill out your depth is they're one of the most aggressive teams when it comes to post-draft.
Oh, UDFAs? I think they do a great job. Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones
will spend – top dollar. They might not spend top dollar during free agency, but you let them have some draft picks still on that board when they all will put a bow on it and we all say goodnight for the draft. They will be so aggressive signing those players. And I think that's where, to your point, you know, Aisha and everybody's going to say, well, who do you have left on your board in that final pick? Well, guarantee you, whoever's left on your board slept on their board too.
Yeah.
And they are going to hunt that.
Mm-hmm. Last year hunt it was that. TJ Bass.
Yeah. And Aisha told us this guy needs to be drafted.
He was in this last year.
I
mean, that was ridiculous.
Of all undrafted free agents that signed last year after the draft, the number one of all in the NFL that had the most guaranteed money was Hunter Lipke.
Yeah.
Wow.
Number three was TJ Bass.
There you go.
So, yeah, definitely.
They're not afraid to, if they've got fifth, sixth, seventh round guys still on that board, they're going to hunt that.
Yeah, I think it was Marquise Bell the year before, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a big one too.
Yeah.
I know that's not what fans want to hear. They don't want to hear like the excitement about the new DFAs.
They should. They should. Terrence Steele, Wanya Thomas, Marquise Bell. Look at the production.
They're finding starters.
Completely agree.
TJ Bass.
Finding legitimate talent at that point along the way.
Yeah.
But right now, all of fans want to hear is they want to hit on these picks.
If they can get
hit on these
all that depth you're talking about in Fuaga, then let's play.
Sounds
let's
good.
Go. I'm going to sell you hope there.
Are you
right
trying
there?
To trade your whole draft right now?
Seriously, it's usually you have some kind of maybe negative one or two lines about a player that you might think, okay, needs to be a little bit better here. This kid doesn't have that.
Yeah.
He really doesn't.
Yeah. He's a phenomenal prospect, but there's some names to look at. I want to dive into the linebackers in the third segment, those five linebackers that were reported earlier to be 30 visits. I want to talk about some of those guys. We've already talked about Edrin Cooper and Peyton Wilson a bit, but we can talk about some of those guys. That's in segment three. But when we come back, it's time to get back into some Twitter on the 20. We'll answer the fan questions about the NFL draft when we come back right after this.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
I'm Darren Woodson, former Dallas Cowboy player and Super Bowl champion. When I played in the NFL at a high level, I relied on my vision to see the field. As I started getting older, I noticed my vision wasn't as good, and I was getting frustrated from wearing my glasses all day. I went to Laser Care Eye Center, and Dr. G talked about all the options. Thanks to technology and Laser Care Eye Center, I can see near, far, and between. Don't fumble your vision any longer. Visit them at dfweyes.com and tell them Darren sent you. They got me back on my game.
In a stressful world, Lincoln provides balance and calm amidst the chaos by creating sanctuaries that move you through the world with ease. Our vehicles make your time richer and more uplifting with human-centric design, intelligent technology, and powerful performance. As the official luxury vehicle of the Dallas Cowboys, driving a Lincoln is just another way to show your team pride. Experience our full lineup of luxury vehicles, including the Corsair, Aviator, Navigator, and Nautilus. At Lincoln.com.
Hi, I'm Danny McCray, Dallas Cowboys alumni player here with Smoothie King. And Smoothie King wants to ask you, what's that sound? That's the sound of us magically transforming our smoothie bowls into two new decadent flavors. Dig into a cool acai or pitaya bowl, handcrafted with crunchy, purely Elizabeth granola, fresh strawberries, and finished with a velvety chocolate hazelnut drizzle. Perfect for breakfast, lunch, or anytime you want to munch. And that's the sound of you making them disappear. Smoothie bowls, now in two new decadent flavors. Only at Smoothie King, the official smoothie of the Dallas Cowboys.
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show.
Back here on the Draft Show, presented by Miller Lite. Taste you can depend on. Country Music's Party of the Year is back like never before. The Academy of Country Music Awards return to Ford Center at the Star in Frisco on May 16th. See the biggest stars in country music and watch unforgettable live performances. Limited tickets are available now at SeatGeek.com.
Yeehaw!
There you go. Thank you very much. That's actually Chris Beam that recorded that in the back. That's exactly what that was.
Was it?
Stop.
Was it
no, it's Isaiah's stand back, actually.
Really?
That's hilarious. That's actually Isaiah.
That's even
it,
better.
He did it. They did it on our show last week, and I thought it was Chris at first, too. I was like, I didn't know your voice could do that, Chris. And he was like, no, it's Isaiah. And I'm like, okay, that
He's
makes sense.
He's very talented. Isaiah wore a cowboy hat one time into Talking Cowboys, and we made him do that, and he forgot that we could clip audio. So that's what we've got. That's what happens. You got to stay on your toes. All right. It's time now for some
Twitter on the 20.
Twitter on the 20.
Get a this kind of
this kind of goes along with our last conversation. Kenny in Frisco asked which prospect graded rounds 5 through 6 or UDFA do you think could have the most long-term impact with any NFL team? Just talking about draft sleepers in general.
Lord Jesus,
you
what
said,
a broad
you
question.
Said six, round six, five, seven UDFA?
Five or later.
Five or later?
Five or later, UDFA, back of the draft that you feel like is a developmental prospect that has the most long-term impact.
Okay.
I know that's a tough question, but I feel like there's some in every draft, right?
Where do you have, is it McClatchin, the tight end from Arizona?
McLaughlin.
McLaughlin?
Yeah.
McLaughlin.
McLaughlin?
Yeah. Tanner McLaughlin. I have him a fourth.
I think I got a fourth on him.
Okay, how about
the speed?
He got a little something to his game.
How about then, I'll tell you a guy that I liked was Bub Meems.
Out of Pittsburgh?
Out of Pittsburgh, the wide receiver.
That's a good one.
I kind of felt like that he was a good guy. To take a look at as far as, because I feel like there's some to his game. There's all these wide receivers, man. I mean, you could throw a blanket on these guys.
You really could.
And because they've all got different type of skill sets to how they play. But with the thing with Meems, I was impressed with him just because let me get to my notes here, because his path as a college player. He was a defensive back at Tennessee. He went to Louisiana Tech. He's a receiver. He's now at Pittsburgh. He's one of the best in the ACC when it came to contested catches.
Mm.
So here's a guy at 6'1", 212 pounds, contested catch guy, you know, routes all over the field, upper body strength, power getting off the line, run through defenders with the ball. I mean, make people miss in the open field. I think that if you work with him as a route runner, he's got a natural feel for the way he plays the game. I could see him being a guy that might have his best football ahead of him. And I got him in there in the fifth round. And I'm probably too low on him, to be honest with you.
What you got?
Yeah, I'm going through a couple of names here.
I am too.
There's some interesting ones. We've mentioned Quantes Stiggers on this show quite a bit.
Yeah.
He's going to get drafted, I think.
He's absolutely going to get drafted.
He's absolutely going
to
get
drafted.
We were talking about him.
That's going to be cool on day three.
I'm excited for him.
Yeah,
it will be awesome.
I think he's going to be a heck of a player.
And in fact, here in the Star Draft magazine, there is a feature story on Quantes Stiggers from yours truly. But he's one that I think will be there on day three. That'll be a really good development. Developmental project for a team. I've talked about Jordan Whittington, I think, a couple of times on this show. Depending on who you talk to, you can see anywhere from a fifth round to a UDFA, priority UDFA grade on him. Receiver at Texas, former five-star prospect at Aquero High School, won a state championship with the Gobblers. But he's physical. He has long speed. I think at the very least, he could be a special teams demon at the next level. They brought him in to be a wide receiver one. He got hurt his first 3 years that he was at Texas. Eventually, they had to recruit around him and bring in some more reliable bodies. That's where you saw the Xavier Worthies and the A.D. Mitchells pop up and Jatavion Sanders out of the world. And so he kind of took a step back on this team this past season. But I think if you give him a wide receiver three type role, I think in the NFL, I think he has the potential to be able to do that a couple of years into the league. High instincts, high character guy. Everyone in the locker room loves the guy. I think he's someone to keep an eye on there on day three.
Yeah.
Where do you guys have Isaiah Adams, offensive tackle out of Illinois?
Fourth round
grade?
Yeah.
Okay. I had him in the fifth, so I didn't know if I was high on him or low.
That's around the area.
Yeah. But I think you're talking about a guy who isn't going to test out of the gym. He's not going to be super athletic whenever it comes to the numbers. Mm-hmm. But on tape, he plays with such good vision, such fundamentals. He's got great footwork all the way through, good anchor. Lateral ability helps him whenever he's pulling as a guard, kick slides as a tackle. He played both at Illinois. So I think that's one that could be a late-round guy. I had him in the fifth, so it falls into this category. But if you've got him in the fourth, I wouldn't necessarily blink an eye.
Yeah, I've been pretty high on this gentleman for a while because he was just a fun watch. Jaquan Jackson, wide receiver out of Tulane.
Love it.
Yeah. I think he's going to fall, obviously, because of the size, but then this wide receiver class is just crazy.
So deep.
But when you look at some of the changes that are even coming to special teams, you talk about returnability. This might be one of the more dynamic returners in this draft as well. He's Ed Reed's nephew. I know that has nothing to do with nothing, but football family. Speedy, super speedy. Mm-hmm. He displays really good burst out of his releases. He has an ability to read defenders, and he can manipulate how they mirror as well. Yak ability, he gets vertical really quickly. He can locate the ball and has good body control to adjust. A lot of people, because of his size, he's 5'11", 185. So some people might be worried about his durability. He can get hit in the mouth and keep going. Like, he he's not afraid to give up his body and things like that. So I do think with special teams kind of changing and things like that, people seeing him as a returner, he does have potential for sure as a receiver. He's a gentleman that I could see somebody getting a hold of in the fifth, sixth round, something like that, and being able to see him have some good plays in this game.
Boy, you nailed this guy.
Yeah, he's a good player.
I tell you what, he has got some ability. She's absolutely right. Yeah, this guy can create on the move, too, when you throw him the football. Usually big plays happen when he has the ball in his hands.
Hmm. Good player.
Where do y'all have Marcellus Dial, defensive back out of South Carolina? Have y'all had an opportunity to take
him? No, he's not a guy
him?
That I've watched yet.
Yeah, I think he's a guy that is there late on day three. He has versatility that you can put him at corner, nickel, safety. He's done a lot of things there for the Gamecocks. In the SEC, was productive as well. That's another name. Take a look at him. Physical, really good. Marcellus Dial South Carolina.
I'll throw out two. I think I've got both of them around the fifth. Maybe you guys have them higher, but Aeneas Smith, wide receiver, Texas A&M.
He's got a fifth.
Interesting, 5'9", 190. Mm-hmm. Is he a slot-only type of guy? But sharp cuts. I mean, smooth route runner. Yeah. And you can see when you watched him play this year, he definitely was not a benefit or benefactor of good quarterback play. Yeah. The quarterback play was wildly inaccurate when you watched him in Texas.
Sure, every Aggie listening.
Like, yeah, man. Yep. but he was open a lot of the time and just didn't get the football. But he owns a 36-game consecutive streak with a reception. Fifth-year senior from Missouri City in the Houston area. I'm sure you know a lot about him from the recruiting ties. There's a big-time recruit coming out of Missouri City, but can win on the outside, I think. Plays a little smaller, but he's tough. I mean, this is a dude who's not afraid to take a hit. Also has punt return ability, special teams ability. And then we were talking about him before during the break, but Travis Glover, the offensive tackle from Georgia State.
Yeah.
6'6", 323. This dude's a mauler. Started all 5 years at Georgia State, played some left guard, right tackle, primarily, though, at left tackle. They had one of the best rushing attacks in school history during his time there, and he's a big reason why. In the run game, this dude's a mauler. I think he's got good lateral movement for his size. Maybe he's a better guard for me when you move him to the next level, but he can throw people around. He's got a violent punch, can get to the second level, powerful anchor. I think he's a really intriguing traits type pick.
Yeah, if you get a copy of the LSU game, take a peek. Because that's where he did some good work against some big-time competition.
There you go.
Fort Bend Dulles, Aeneas Smith.
There you go.
what grades you have on him coming out?
Oh, it was before I was doing grades.
He was an exciting player in high school, and he really was.
All right, this is an interesting one from Walker. He actually came up to me at the Legends game the other day. He said he loves the show. He said, but I want to submit a question.
Shout out to Walker.
I was like, it's called Twitter on the 20. You got to send me a Twitter message. So he sent me a Twitter message, and it's actually a really good question. Besides quarterback, what position do you see a run on in the first round that most benefits the Dallas Cowboys sitting at 24?
Corner.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, corner. I think if these corners start flying off the board, Quinyon Mitchell, Terrion Arnold, Nate Wiggins, I think you're going to see those corner needy teams that are there in the late 20s try to trade up and make sure that they get their guy. I think if these corners start flying off the board, it definitely helps. You could also look at receivers. If these receivers start coming off the board as well. We've talked about Marvin Harrison Jr., Brian Thomas Jr., Roma Dunze, but if you start seeing the A.D. Mitchells or the Xavier Worthy start going, that would be huge towards the Cowboys being able to have their right offensive lineman fall to them at 24.
I'd love for some of these defensive tackles to go roll. You know what I'm saying? Maybe with Murphy, Newton, and those, maybe it might happen ahead of you.
Maybe a Sweat.
Sweat, Fisk. Maybe somebody falls in love with Fisk. I know you need a defensive tackle, but it's one of those things where you probably have to look at it and say, well, it's probably not going to play out the way they want, but you're right about the receivers. When we did the mock draft the other day, Brian Thomas was sitting there when it came to Dallas's turn to pick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you can get all those receivers to go, I just think that people are going to look at those receivers and they're going to look at the corners and they're going to say, you know what, the guy that we're looking at in the second round, we could probably get in the third round.
Yeah.
And the guy we're looking at in the third round, we could probably get in the fourth round.
Yeah.
So it's just got so much depth there at those two spots, wide receiver and corner for sure.
Yeah, we're trying to get Tuisi Fuaga and we're trying to get Graham Barton down the 24, guys. Yeah. We got to get all the defensive tackles, all the wide receivers, all the corners up there.
Maybe a run on those edges too. If all of a sudden Latu, Turner, Verse, Chop Robinson.
Maybe Darius Robinson, Mizzou.
Mizzou, yeah. Maybe so. Fun. Yeah.
All right. Kyle asks, and it's not me, I promise. Okay. How likely is it that the Cowboys draft tackle and center in the first three rounds? And is that something that you would do if you were drafting for the Cowboys, going with a double dip in offensive line, but two separate positions?
I don't think I would necessarily do it, but it wouldn't surprise me if that's what ends up happening. I think there's interior depth that you can work with on the offensive line. I think you need to go get a defensive tackle and you need to go get a running back. So I struggle with being able to pull one of those away for an extra offensive lineman.
I think it definitely could happen. I mean, it's not a must because, of course, with TJ Bass and Brock Hoffman and then with Tyler Smith's flexibility. But if you have the right tackle that slides to you, then I think it is likely.
The correct tackle.
Tackle that slides to you. I think that center is definitely a position in the third round. You can find somebody that you feel really good about, whether it's Bo Limmer from Arkansas, Hunter Norzad, Penn State's another name. Maybe some want him as a guard, not a center. But I loved his tape. I think Hunter Norzad's got some nasty to his game, too.
So
there's certainly some guys in that third, fourth round. Matt Lee from Miami just competes his rear off. I think they certainly could double dip in that area. But it will depend on, do they take a tackle in the first?
Yeah.
If they don't and they go with Graham Barton or a center, I don't know how likely it is to circle back and take a tackle then in the third.
Yeah. What do you think, Aisha?
Just replenish the offensive line in some way, shape, or form. It's about that time. I think they've kind of – I think since Travis Frederick retired and all that stuff started happening, they've been trying to figure out this offensive line and have, like, a concrete line and things like that. So I'm just like, however they decide to do it, they need to do it. Y'all already know how I feel about being able to run the ball. So however they got to do it, they need to do it. But to your point, Zach, I think the depth that you have is important already. I don't want to change that.
Powers Johnson or Barton are selected in the first round, they're going to move Tyler Smith.
Yeah.
My opinion.
We'll keep his.
If they take a tackle in the first round, now it's going to be about where would the center fall? Could that be? They don't have a fourth round pick.
Yeah.
And I kind of got like those guys you talk about: Norzad, mm-hmm. Penn State, Limmer, Arkansas, or Bartolone. Bartolini or
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at right now. Because if you don't now, we'll see what they think about. They'll tell us what they think about, the guys they currently have on the roster. But I think it all the movement of the left guard is predicated on how they draft in the first round. That's what I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Jake asks, if the Cowboys take a wide receiver, mm-hmm. take Brian Thomas Jr.
Mm-hmm.
at 24,
mm-hmm.
and then take the running back Jonathan Brooks at 56, the complete opposite of the last scenario. How would you feel if they went wide receiver and running back, pure weaponry in the first two rounds? What would the reaction be in this room?
We'd have a lot of fun, but I don't know if we'd get the ball to them.
I think
for the long run, sure, there would probably be a lot of positive that would come out of having two weapons like that that you can put on the offensive side of the ball and just really let cook. But you're going to need protection up front. And granted, there are still tackle bodies that they could throw up there and be able to, work into a starting situation if they felt like they could. Let's say they don't draft offensive line. You're probably moving Tyler Smith out the left tackle.
Right.
And you're putting TJ Bass and Brock Hoffman at a combination of center and left guard. Your other option is relying on the depth of tackle, which is Matt Wiletzko, who hasn't been able to stay healthy, Awesome Richards, who hasn't been able to touch the field, Josh Ball, who, again, hasn't been able to stay healthy. So, whichever one you feel least bubbly about is the one that you would probably have to roll with.
If you went Thomas Brooks and went Van Pram from Georgia,
mm-hmm.
I could dance with that. Yeah. I'm going to need you to address that center spot with that third round pick. And I don't know where you guys think about Van Pram.
I'd be fine with Van Pram in the third round.
But that might be if you just say we're taking those two offensive players, or excuse me, those two skill guys in the center, then I can justify that.
Yeah, even if you're not going to go get the tackle, I think getting the center does kind of even things out because you have a TJ Bass that can do some guard things as well. But do y'all think that, I mean, when TJ Bass starts showing what he was capable of, I immediately thought about the fact that Zach Martin is, You know, because we're mostly talking about the left side of this offensive line.
Yeah.
We ain't talked about the right side of it
that
much.
No, you're right. You're right.
And, you know, as much respect as we have for Zach, even though he was helping out his center a lot, I do think that, you know, we have to be considerate of the fact that he is getting older as well and replenishing that spot. So it's like, I wonder what, if that's going to come into play as well. Like, do they surprise us and get a guy that just has that flexibility, or are they just going to stick with the left side?
I think they've always shown
line?
Like flexibility is important, right? Right. They do covet that, you know, a piano player on the offensive line. They can play up and down. I think that's definitely interesting. I would not be thrilled with that scenario. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I don't like Brian Thomas. I do. I'm not trying to come away with a first-round wide receiver because I think it's one of the most – it's the deepest position groups. I don't think it's necessary. I think it's a little bit of a luxury pick. I don't know that that's even necessarily the best player on your board. I can be sold. Again, if you circle back and you get a center you feel really good about in the third, but to me, I'm building – from the offense, I want to go inside out. Having great receivers does mean nothing if I cannot block and protect up front.
Okay, take Thomas out of the mix and put in Coleman. Put in Mitchell. Put in any one of those wide receivers. Is there anybody I could get you off that thought, another wide receiver, because you don't like Thomas?
It's not that I don't like Thomas. I do have Mitchell graded higher, though.
Okay, Mitchell, what if Mitchell, they take Mitchell at 24.
And we're just assuming, like, Barton's gone?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I would feel the same no matter what receiver they come away with.
So it's, really? It's
Marvin Harrison Jr. slides to 24.
Look, hey, okay, if you're getting the best player, sure, at his position, I get it. But I just think overall, I feel good about taking a wide receiver in the third, you know, and rather I'd take the better center in the first.
Let me throw another scenario out where they don't take an offensive lineman at all in the first couple of days. Instead, they address defensive tackle there in the third round, and they get like a Mason Smith or a McKinley Jackson.
Right.
And they circle back and getting Hunter Norzad in the fifth round. How do you feel about that?
I like Hunter Norzad.
I like Hunter, but I've got the bubble guts.
I'm still nervous.
Absolutely.
I don't know about that one.
Look. I'm not taking a receiver in the first round.
Why would you say Mason Smith?
Mason Smith.
I mean,
in the
fourth,
I would take Jackson over Mason Smith from Texas A&M.
I
myself.
Think I would too.
Yeah. I know.
Mason Smith to me is a teaser.
Yeah,
that respect.
Big body
ruined the whole scenario for me when you said Mason Smith. No offense.
I was just like, I'm out. It's done.
But
and
no,
for
no,
that reason, I'm out.
But I would be cool with that. I think the trenches on both sides of the ball, or what, even to Zach's point, are what I'm looking at. Them prioritizing, despite the fact that you only got Brandon Cooks for another year, you just lost Michael Gallup, and
you could use another receiver. I mean, you absolutely could. I just think, man, if you're looking at like where's the value in this draft, it's taking a receiver later.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I think it'll be some people there.
Along the same lines, Matthew asks, what is the percentage that the Cowboys pick anything other than offensive line in the first? Give me a number. Give me a percentage. 30, anything outside of it.
Yeah, I was thinking like 25 to 30%.
30%?
25%.
I think it's even smaller than
that. It probably is.
I think it's probably like 15.
Tater tots, really? You think so?
I think they're going to take
an offensive lineman. Yeah.
Can I get you? What if I told you Murphy's on the board?
I think they'd still probably go lineman. You know what it is? If they
depends
trade.
Depends on who
it,
else is there.
I think what's more likely is you trade back and all right. It's Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker from A&M. Yeah,
Murphy, Guyton, fine. Latham, Mims.
My highest graded player out of that is Latham. I would take Latham there.
Murphy, Guyton, Latham, Mims.
Ooh, I hate that question.
I'm parachuting.
You're getting out.
You're probably blowing
the hatches, diving for the bottom.
That stresses me out because I do think that I don't know. You already know how I feel about Latham. I think he can play, but I'd be scared because Alabama.
It's Latham and Murphy for me in that scenario.
Yeah, I mean,
same here. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Murphy, I have better than those two tackles.
Mm.
And I got to – I mean, hey, I'm standing on it. You got to stay true to the board. No window dressing. That's what I was raised by Brian Broaddus under.
Latham.
Latham would probably be my pick. Otherwise, if they're like, nah, we can't move him from the right side, I'll just take Murphy and leave it. I've got a disruptive defensive tackle.
And that's part of the conversations that we don't get to be a part of. If they're keeping him at right tackle and they can't move him to left, I still think he can play left. Personally,
or at least play left guard,
or left guard's fine. I'm cool with that. But if they're keeping him on the right side, then I'm taking Murphy. But I think he can play on the left side.
Well, with Mims, I I think I've accepted that he's going to go to a team. He's going to be really good. Mm-hmm. And then we're just going to have to watch him from afar. Because I probably think people are nervous. Please, what's wrong with you? Because I do think it's people are going to – somebody's going to take the risk. Somebody's going to do it. And But I don't know. I think he might make it out the first round more than what we think. I think it's possible because you can like the player all day, but the lack of play time is stifling.
Boy, preach.
It's stifling, with and Mims. It's important. Yeah. It
scares the hell out of me.
I think it's important to scout. Well, I've seen it in his tape.
I mean, sometimes when he's getting to the second level, he's like, I don't have a feel of where to block or who to pick up here.
How different is he from the guys we're talking about in the fifth, sixth, seventh round where we're like, okay, they're drafting for traits. Baby, if you draft him, you drafting for traits. It's not enough tape to be super concrete, like, this is what
No,
him
there
eats.
Is, but I guess you do have a college football playoff semifinal against no, the elite and competition he balled, to base
and
off
he balled
of.
Out, but we know about offensive line. It is literally, I'm looking for consistency with it. And so I'm like, what are you talking about?
I don't think I've ever taken a player in the first round I've seen one game on.
Hmm. I'm just saying, I think it's you know going to matter.
Maybe that's why Mims won't go in the first
slide.
Round. Maybe us media scouts, and we're just, oh my gosh, we're gushing over the talent. But maybe, honestly, the lack of tape could be a reason why he slides to the second.
Yeah.
What
but
you
good
think,
God, man? If that dude turns out to be the best tackle of
he's
his class, are any
great.
Of us going to be shocked?
No, not I've at all. I've accepted it. I have accepted he's going to be really good, and it's just going to hurt. But that's okay. It's going to hurt me. But it just is what it is. I don't know. It's a lot to ask of a young guy.
No
like that.
If they across the hallway, and Brian, you've talked about this a little bit. If across the hallway they make the decision and they say Mims is good enough for us, the traits are there, we can teach him, the fundamentals are there enough to where he could come in start
they'll
right
plug
now,
and play a guy.
He's gonna. I think he would turn into be a monster.
Yeah, he would
an
develop.
Absolute monster. Do I think he does that in any scenario? Absolutely not. But those people across the hallway know how to scout offensive linemen and how to grow them, too.
Yeah, but she's right, though. They're having the same thoughts we are
same
right
debate.
Now.
I'm going back and forth. About
that, they're like, okay, what games we need to watch here? Okay, you throw on the Ohio State game, and we got any other games? We can go, okay. What about? Oh wait, he got hurt. How many games has this guy played? You know, you're gonna the report is going to be read. He's played 8 games in his career, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think an added layer to it too is he comes from a 2A program in Georgia. Like, it's not like he was coming from this powerhouse in Georgia high school football where he was developed as an offensive lineman. I mean, he was coming from
raw.
Where he was the guy in the entire town as a 15-year-old. So.
I'll let somebody else be a hero. I will. Aisha's right.
I'm good on
you
that.
Know, it'll hurt you when you watch, but you know it'll teach me next time. Oh yeah, sure. You can take a guy with 8 games and he'll be an all-pro tackle. Yep. Can I get you guys to take Latu or Verse instead of a tackle?
You absolutely could.
You could.
Especially if it's between like Guyton or Mims. I mean, Verse to me, like, I love Latu. I think Latu's the best edge. I'm not passing on him. But again, he's a guy with like the neck and the medicals. You got to feel good about it. Have you just had a situation with Leighton Vander Esch where unfortunately his career didn't go as long as you wanted to because of that? So maybe I would pivot to Verse. But both of those guys likely are the top two players on my board compared to those other two tackles.
It's going
to
be a no for me, Doug.
On Verse?
I'm out.
It's going to be a no because I don't care what edges you got. If your interior is lacking, then baby's going to be struggling.
All right. All right. We got to take our second break. Great questions for Twitter on the 20 today. When we come back, I want to talk about some smaller school guys.
I never can draw you offside.
Listen.
D2, JUCO, and then maybe we'll hit some of those linebackers that are 30 visits. When we come back with more of the Draft Show.
Hi, Drew Pearson, former Dallas Cowboy and now Pro Football Hall of Famer here. If you're struggling with your vision and tired of those contacts and glasses, don't throw a Hail Mary. Go where I went. Laser Care Eye Center, the official LASIK partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
Drew, thank you so much for trusting us with your vision correction procedure. At Laser Care Eye Center, we offer 6 different vision correction procedures to help patients see.
Check them out at dfweyes.com. Tell them Drew sent you. Hood, hood.
In a stressful world, Lincoln provides balance and calm amidst the chaos by creating sanctuaries that move you through the world with ease. Our vehicles make your time richer and more uplifting with human-centric design, intelligent technology, and powerful performance. As the official luxury vehicle of the Dallas Cowboys, driving a Lincoln is just another way to show your team pride. Experience our full lineup of luxury vehicles, including the Corsair, Aviator, Navigator, and Nautilus at Lincoln.com.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at Blockchain.com.
Hi, I'm Danny McCray, Dallas Cowboys alumni player here with Smoothie King. And Smoothie King wants to ask you, what's that sound? That's the sound of us magically transforming our smoothie bowls into two new decadent flavors. Dig into a cool acai or pitaya bowl, handcrafted with crunchy, purely Elizabeth granola, fresh strawberries, and finished with a velvety chocolate hazelnut drizzle. Perfect for breakfast, lunch, or anytime you want to munch. And that's the sound of you making them disappear. Smoothie bowls, now in two new decadent flavors. Only at Smoothie King, the official smoothie of the Dallas Cowboys.
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show.
Back here on the Draft Show presented by Miller Lite. Taste you can depend on. This segment is brought to you by your Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. All right. I want to go through some small school prospects here. Division II, JUCO, HBCU, doesn't matter. It can't be D1, and that includes the FCS. Mm-hmm. No South Dakota State guys here, okay? We're getting real deep into this. No North Dakota State.
Yep.
No,
I want South Dakota State.
No, no Jackrabbits here.
They're getting too good.
They're too good. They've won national championships. Even Montana. No Montana, guys.
The reason for bringing this to the forefront as well is because – who knows? The next Austin Eckler might be in this draft. The Cowboys, they took a couple of D2 undrafted free agents last year. David Durden was one who's still in the building rehabbing a torn ACL. I'm trying to think of some other D2 guys that have made names. And there was a guy out of Lenoir Ryan a couple of years ago.
Kyle Duggar.
Mm-hmm. There are some names. But, yeah, I think this Lenoir is an interesting topic. Ryan.
These are the Wisconsin Whitewater a couple years ago had an offensive lineman out of the draft.
A hell of a program.
Yeah.
Allie Marpet.
Yeah.
From Hobart.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Watched him. They had a bounce house in the end zone. Kids were like, they're playing the game, and you see the kids in the bounce house out in the end zone.
Love that.
That's when you know that's real.
Hobart getting it done.
Darn right.
For their fans.
All right, Aisha, I want you to kick things off. Who you got?
I got guard CJ Hansen from Holy Cross. Took snaps at center at the Shrine Bowl. Looked really good. Had a lot of good reports. Y'all, his initial quickness, I think he ran a five flat 40 a few weeks ago, and just the lateral movement is fantastic from him. Like I said, the initial quickness stands out. He thrives on counters, traps, pulling, because he has crazy balance and good athleticism. He's able to get off the line very fast. He's a physical finisher, though. So he'll get there with the speed, but he has some of the power to be able to finish blocks, because that's something you worry about with a lot of these guys who are super athletic. You're like, hey, can you drop your anchor? Can you drop that air? And can you move somebody out the way? So he also plays with good knee bend and core strength. Like I said, I think his foot quickness also allows him to recover even when he's in tough spots. Very confident and versatile player. Like I said, he's I think people might be interested in being able to move him across the line. He can do some swing things, but when he took snaps at center at the Shrine Bowl, he looked stout, man, and I think he's definitely risen his stock with how he's tested at the combine. He crushed the combine. He had one of the fastest times from interior linemen that we've seen in a minute. So I just wanted to mention him, and he's a guy when you talk about earlier, Zach, like, hey, maybe they get a center later. He's a guard, but he does have the ability to play center and can be an option in the later rounds.
I like that. His 5-flat 40 at the combine, 95th percentile out of interior offensive.
Yeah, he can move, but he's not all. Not all movement. He has some power to him too, and I think that's what's going to make him an appealing pick if somebody grabs him.
Yeah. All right, Nick, who you got?
So I'm going to dive into a guy here who stole the show at the Michigan State Pro Day a few weeks ago. He was able to kind of sneak into this Pro Day workout as a member of Ferris State in Big Rapids, Michigan, Division II program. He is the cousin of Joey Porter Jr., if y'all remember from last year, and the nephew of Joey Porter Sr. We're going to talk about Sean Stevens here, S-H-O-N is how you spell Sean. 40-yard dash that was timed. This is from an area scout at the Michigan State Pro Day. 40-yard dash, 4.38. Shuttle 4.29, three cones 6.99, vertical 36.5, and broad was 10 feet. And whenever you look at this guy in coverage, he backed all of that up. He had 8 interceptions last year. He had a run of 5 games in a row where he had an interception. Wow. A big return ability, too. He had a kickoff return for a touchdown last year. Averaged almost 40 yards per return last year. He was a guy that was trying to transfer into FBS. Penn State was trying to get him in 2019. Purdue was trying to get him in 2023. But he was denied transfer eligibility in both of those situations. It wasn't grades or anything. It was kind of a situation I haven't quite figured out. But he ended up sticking with Ferris State, and now he's draft eligible. And man, he's been blowing up these workouts. The biggest concern about him, 5'8.5", 173. So the size is not there whatsoever. Yeah. But I think he's an interesting guy that you could probably throw in the nickel and rely on him to be able to take on some of these speedier options that come out of the slot. He was able to play bigger than what his size was at that D2 level last year. But once you upgrade that to the NFL level, after a couple of years development, what does that look like? That's probably a valid criticism, but man, he has really stole the show from the area scouts up there in Michigan. Wow.
Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. What you got, Brian?
My bad.
Jalix Hunt from Houston.
Oh, talk about it.
Houston Christian.
Yeah, but
transfer from Cornell. He was a high school safety wide receiver. He's an edge linebacker. He plays as a stand-up linebacker. It rushes the passer. I think this is where he's going to have to play in the NFL. He's going to have to be an edge player, 6'4", 252. He physically looks the part, long arms, height. He's going to need to get more strength in his lower body and to play with his experience. He doesn't handle blockers particularly well at this time. He tends to lose the ball, tends to play a little tall. But though there will be some initial quickness as a pass rusher, the length helps him. He takes like a Euro step. Aisha, you'll appreciate this in your love for NBA basketball. He'll take that Euro step to get off the ball and then burst where he needs to go. He closes from the backside. Once he finds the ball, he is there. Need to keep working on him as a pass rusher. He's not a linebacker. I think that, he's not the type that's going to read and play coverage. But if you want a guy that's got some raw traits to him, Jalix Hunt. From Houston Christian is a guy.
And the Cowboys were in attendance at Houston Christian's Pro Day, which is basically just the Jalix Hunt
physically,
show.
That guy looks the part. But, it's
he's
just awesome. It's inconsistent getting off blocks. And they do drop him off in coverage a lot. He's having to play out there in space consistently. I was talking with Nick. I saw this guy circling on social media. Cole Burgess, the wide receiver from Cortland State. Interesting player, 6'1", 192. We're going and we're talking D3 football here, the Red Dragons there. Let's go to the Elite Eight or the Empire Eight Conference. But he was first team All Empire Conference, had 87 catches, 1,373 yards, 16 TDs last year. And last season, all of that was a school record. He's got 3 career touchdowns on kick returns as well and a block punt. So he's definitely going to be able to contribute, make a team on special teams. But he will, this guy is reckless abandon. He will sell out his body to dive, get on the ground, fight for footballs. He'll go over the middle. He does not care. If he's getting double teamed, he's willing to take a shot. He's got natural hands. And to me, the route running's there. 50-50 balls for a smaller receiver. He's going to go up and get it. Plays with good vision and instincts. He's got good balance through contact. Quick off the line. Can create some separation. Now, there's times where I don't think he's got elite speed. He's about a 4.47 guy. So he's good at hand fighting to try and create a little bit of space for himself at the NFL level when he goes up against some bigger, faster corners and he's playing against some press man. How does he look in those situations? But my gosh, his tape, Cole Burgess from Cortland, was a lot of fun to study.
Okay. A lot of fun. Just because I said it earlier, there's no FCS allowed. I don't want any Houston Christian or Holy Cross individuals coming after me. They do play in the FCS. It's okay.
Well, I went D3.
I'm going to allow it. But you went D3. You were.
I got one more then. Shrine Bowl guy, Sundita Anderson, Edge, Grambling FCS. State.
I'm going to drive through awesome. Grambling later. I got to be careful, guys.
He is awesome, though. He's a big dude off the edge.
Tell me about him anyways. I want to hear about him. I'm allowing
I'm
it.
Upset. Well, are they? You said they're FCS?
FCS, yeah.
Ain't Grambling a HBCU?
They are. So I said HBCU, so go for it.
I'm still learning.
Go for it.
Leave me alone. Anyway, you talk about...
I just say players you need to know. Taylor, that's all I do.
Yep, listen, go for it.
You talk about the build, Nick. Yeah, dog, he's he's huge, but he's moving. Very violent hands. His motor is through the roof. The backside pursuit's there. He has a quick initial step. Like, he made some of those tackles at the Shrine Bowl look crazy in one-on-ones. I like his hand placement. He can read well, and he has the ability to disengage, which is very important to me looking at edge now because, Lord, there's so many of them that cannot get off blocks consistently, and it drives me nuts. And he, when he does disengage, it's aggressive. It's not, it's get off me. It's not get off me. I mean, he's really trying to get people's hands off of him. He has to get better on taking on double teams and finding, you know, strength in his anchor and being able to take those on, which is something that guys develop over time or whatever case may be. But, yeah, you talk about the violent hands, the motor, all that stuff. He has a nice little toolbox, too, as a rusher. He's a guy that I think people should look at as somebody that can get picked up and make a difference on a team. Yeah, for sure. Let me go through the freaking who's who.
Who's who. Real quick. Two names you need to keep an eye on. I'm not going to talk about him in length, but Jovanini Manu from British Columbia.
Love it.
Is an offensive tackle, and he's got a teammate, Theo Benedet, who is the right tackle. One's a left tackle, the other's a right tackle. British Columbia, these two kids in the offensive line are probably going to get drafted. We're going to call their names at some point in time in this draft. Talking to scouts, they said, hey, make sure you take a look at these two British Columbia offensive linemen.
They were on the same team.
Same team. Manu plays left tackle. Benedet plays right tackle.
I want to go watch that film.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
It's funny with about 17 guys in motion at once. You know, you're kind of like, whoa, some serious eye candy going on here. But yeah, these two British Columbia offensive tackles. Manu is 340 pounds and moves like he's about 310.
I feel like you would just take their film and put it up next against like WWE where people are lifting people off the ground and slamming them in.
There's a lot of movement going on in that. A lot of movement going on.
That's a lot of fun.
If I could shout out a couple of more guys on the HBCU side of things, RJ Mobley, receiver out of Winston-Salem State up in North Carolina. Take a look at that guy. Really productive out of the slot there for Winston-Salem State, and then also Jordan Tolles out of Morgan State, safety. Kind of like a safety linebacker hybrid type dude. I think he's a guy that would probably be best at safety, though. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be a priority undrafted free agent. Jordan Tolles, really fascinating watch there for him.
$5 to the first person that can name Winston-Salem State's logo that's not Nick Harris. Sorry. I just figured you would probably know it. Anybody?
The Devils.
Nope. One more guess?
Oh, no.
Anything?
Go ahead.
Dragons.
The Rams. They were the Rams. I just
Rams. It was the Rams.
That's it. I'm thinking it's like a sea dragon crazy. Or something. No.
I brought up Hobart College today.
Hobart College. Shout out on the draft show. How about that?
Keep watching that tape, folks.
Absolutely. We've got a lot more to break down coming up on Thursday, 11 a.m. Central Time. We'll be back here with 21 days. Thursday will mark 3 weeks out from the NFL draft. For Zach Wolchuk, Nick Harris, Brian Broaddus, Aisha Morrison, I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long from the draft show. We will see you on Thursday.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?